Preaching over to Caleb's dad, Brother Garraway, Warren Garraway. He's also going to say a little bit about your ministry. All right, so without any further ado, we're going to have Katie and Caleb sing for us again. We appreciate you folks coming. It's been a real blessing, a real treat. Amen. And I'm glad our folks get a chance to meet you and check out the CDs. And it's good to have Brother Garraway preaching for us tonight. So as soon as you're done singing, he'll come on up here and preach for us.
Well, it's a blessing to sing before my dad comes to preach, my father comes to preach and to share his ministry. I was able to travel with him for about 2.5-3 years, amen, with what he's going to show you, and it's a tremendous blessing. Do have a prayer card myself on the back table. I encourage you to grab one of those. And then that song that I'm going to sing is by request, but I believe it goes right with what dad is going to preach on tonight and the ministry he's going to show you. It's entitled The Value of One, and every single soul counts. Amen?
Amen.
Every single life.
That's right.
And because every single person in this world will face an eternity either in heaven or in hell.
Right.
So there is a value
right.
of one soul. Amen? So it's very important to reach them one by one.
Amen. Right.
Could it be that up in heaven God is sitting on His throne, anticipating another sinner would soon become His own? Years of wasted living and years of toil and strife are just about to be over as He receives the gift of life. Go sound the horn, strike up the choir, a sinner safe from the fire. No more in darkness, He's received God's Son. All heaven's rejoicing, that's the value of one. The Holy Spirit has been working to soften up His heart. All He needs is a willing servant to simply do His part. Can you imagine up in heaven the joy there'll be that day as the sinner bows his head to pray? Can't you hear the Father say, He's He's received my son. All heaven's rejoicing. That's the value of one. Start construction on his mansion. There on Hallelujah Street. He doesn't know yet what is waiting. When a Savior he will meet. Oh, sound the horn. Strike on the choir. A sinner's been saved. Saved from the fire. No more in darkness. He's received my son. All heaven's rejoicing. That's the value of the value of one.
Amen. Amen. Man, I lost my voice. Some of us might have to preach tonight. Is this water, Pastor?
Yes, sir.
Whoa.
Good interruption.
That's some water. Wow. I had a girlfriend one time drank gin like that. No, my name's Warren Garrow. It's good to be here tonight. A little choked up because my son sang. And his fiance. Well, where's my fiance? It's not fiance. It's my daughter. My new daughter. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I have three boys. I have two daughters. Now I'm going to have a third daughter. We call them in-laws. We call them daughters.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I grew up in Valley Stream. And went to South High School, graduated 1963. For those of you, what are you laughing at, son? And I met my wife in Jersey. I moved upstate New York. So I was living in the Bronx, and you mentioned the Bronx. We got in the Bronx. And got saved when I was 32 years old, upstate New York, in a small country church. Looking for a church to raise my family in. Didn't know the Lord. I knew the Lord, but didn't know half the Lord. You know, and so I set out to find a church. I wound up in a Bible-believing Baptist church because the preacher believed the book.
Amen.
And he preached the Bible.
Amen.
I remember a sermon his preacher was preaching Jonah and the whale. And I sat in the back and said, that fool believes the book. I said, he believes that Jonah was actually swallowed by a whale. And I sat there in the back for about 7 months going because I enjoyed the Bible preaching.
Amen.
Then my oldest boy, Bruce, got saved in junior church, which I said, good, go home and tell your mother. And then I wound up making an appointment with the pastor to talk to the pastor about what my son had done because I had some difficulty with that doctrine. And I wound up getting saved that night. I was 32 years old. And then God changed my life. And at age 53, God called me to preach.
Amen.
So, and I'm now 52. Oh, I just turned 64, amen. And so I was hoping I'd go to I was age 70, but I'm hoping now I go to I'm at 92 years old. I believe God's going to go to 92 years old if I, you know.
Amen.
What else am I going to do?
Amen.
What else are we supposed to do?
Amen.
Serve the Lord, amen.
Amen.
And then I finally got rid of that fraud. Good. And so I was. I worked upstate New York for the Department of Transportation. I was a professional engineer about highways and bridges for the state of New York, doing construction jobs. And when God called me to preach, I said, okay, so I made a change in my life. So I took an early retirement at age 55 and started what I call Reseeding American Ministries. And Reseeding stands for not the loss of hair. But it stands for reseeding this nation with the Word of God. The years that we reap today, what people before us have sown. When we talk to somebody in the street or somebody else, they've heard about Jesus because this country has been saturated with the Word of God. But if we don't saturate this country with the Word of God,
right,
we don't get gospel tracts out and tell people about the Lord, our children, our grandchildren, have they'll have no harvest.
Right.
Because the seed hasn't been planted. So I believe in reseeding America with gospel tracts, gospel literature, that type of thing. And so I'm just a soul winner. God called me to preach, and I was 53, turned to 55. But God had broken my heart for America. few years before that, and I didn't know what to do with the rest of my life. I said, what am I going to do with my life when I know America is in trouble? And I don't know what the answer is for America, but I know who has the answer for America. That's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I mean, I voted for George McGovern when I was... Don't laugh. I voted for George McGovern because I liked his policy. Now that I got saved, I vote Christian principles. Amen. George McGovern was up for legalizing marijuana. That's why I voted for him. He's there with my background, where I came from. But now I vote Christian principles. And so I said, if it works for me, it'll work for others. The gospel. And so we started Reaching American Ministry. Amen. What I try and do is go soul winning, pass out gospel tracts with the thousands of people in the streets. Last year, I come into New York City this time of year to go to the Thanksgiving Day parade. I'll get out there and have our gospel tracts. I have 8,000 tracts this year with me. We're going to go out and see if we can pass out 8,000 gospel tracts to people and then share the gospel with them. There's a time to go soul winning, there's a time to pass out gospel tracts. When you're facing a crowd of 3.5 million people like last year, it's a good time to hear our gospel tracts.
Yeah.
And so you never know what happens when someone reads the Word of God. The Bible says His Word will not return void.
Yeah.
That means it has an effect. So a good gospel tract is good in reaching folks. Now, has anybody here been saved by a gospel tract, or been saved from a gospel tract? Anybody in this auditorium been saved from reading a gospel tract? Or been, has the gospel tract been used in your salvation experience? Anybody like that all in this auditorium? There's a hand right there. You know what that means? I'm putting a book together on people that saved off gospel tracts. So before you leave tonight, I want you to write down a piece of paper your story. It don't have to be long. It can be short. But people need to know that folks get saved from gospel tracts. As an encouragement to us to pass on more gospel tracts, because God's word doesn't return void.
Amen. That's right.
So we started Reaching American Ministries. I think that's all. I'm going to show a video that was filmed in this. I got large crowds of people. The first event we usually do is Mardi Gras. I've been going to Mardi Gras for the last 16 years, I think it is. Passing out tracts, working in the streets. Before I was called to ministry, I was working on evangelism degree, that type of thing. I'm glad I'm in New York. I can talk fast. You know, down in Texas, you all have to talk slow so those people can understand what you're saying. A 30-minute message can go for an hour and a half. But tonight I can go, you know, I can preach a 3-hour message any time I got out. So every month I try and do something. So the last 7-8 years I've been building and building and building. And the last event I do is the Thanksgiving Day Parade, and I go home. Last year I traveled for 210 days. This year I think it's going to be 230. Next year I'm scheduled for like 250 days. Now my wife used to travel with me, but she stayed home with my son. Now that my son's getting married, she says, when Caleb gets married, I'll travel with you again. So my wife may travel with me again. Amen. But you know, my wife, it happened to my wife, she'll say things like, I didn't say how long would be after he gets married before I travel with him. You know what I mean? She liked that. You know, any of you guys know what I'm talking about? Amen. You know, I miss my wife. I miss my wife very much. You know, and I miss traveling with her. But there are some benefits not traveling with your wife. Nobody tells me how to drive anymore. Amen. How many fellas know what I mean? You know, because the downside to that is I keep getting speeding tickets. All right, so when I was 16 years old, I made a decision to seek the things of the world. I better get my message because I've been wandering all over. Where's the clock up here, preacher?
We don't use clock.
You don't use a clock? No. I feel sorry for you people. You let him preach on the clock? I'm only teasing. All right. Yeah, I forgot what I was saying. That's good. Amen. Oh, when I was 16. Thank you, Mr. Sawyer. Now I know why you get what you have. You got a wife. I remember I was sitting at the kitchen table, and I made a decision to, in my day it was called wine, woman, and song. I made a decision to chase wine, woman, and song. Now, if we got any teenagers in here, or youngsters here, listen to me. If what I did to make that decision to chase the things of the world was so great, why did I get saved 16 years later at age 32? If that satisfied every need I had, why did I come to Christ? Tell me, why? Tell me. If seeking the things of the world was so good and met all the desires we have, why did I get saved? Because it doesn't satisfy.
Right.
The things of the world don't satisfy. It's only the gospel of Christ that can take care of the needs of the heart.
Yeah.
And we're so afraid to go tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ because we think they're having a good time. When the truth of the matter is, they're miserable.
That's right.
They're miserable. We're the ones having the fun. Right? And so Satan's got all messed up and everything else. But there's a lot of things we need to do in America. And I'd like to preach a short message tonight. Or maybe a long message. You never know. I put my clock away. On this matter of reseeing America. The need to reseed this country with the Word of God. With the Word of God. And before we go any further, let's open a prayer. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the stance it has in the community. And Father, I thank you for the stance it takes on your word, the Bible. Bible Baptist Church. Lord, I pray that tonight you speak to our hearts through your word. The Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you work on my heart, work on the hearts of the people here. We're needy people, Lord. We need to hear from you. Speak to us tonight in a way that will cause us to serve you more. For we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
If you take your Bible, open it. You hear me all right?
Yeah.
Everything all right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm struggling my voice, but that's all right. As long as you can hear me, that's all that matters. Well, I don't know. You know, maybe better if you don't hear me. Romans chapter 10. There's four things I want to show if I could. You know, nothing new, but what a blessing. What a blessing that my son sing before I preach. Thank you, buddy.
Amen.
I mean, that's a blessing to me. I mean, I'm going over there and cry my eyes out, you know. Not so much that he's singing, but the words of the song.
Right.
Yeah.
Man. And Katie, what? You know, take it and run, man. Take it and run. Take the gospel across this country, across this world,
amen.
And don't look back.
Amen.
Just take it and go. God will meet your needs. Amen.
Amen.
How many have God meet your needs?
Amen.
Amen. Just take it and go.
Amen.
When I decided to go into ministry, I was scared. I'm still scared. But my oldest boy, Bruce, said to me, Dad, you're leaving a good-paying job to go in the ministry. Do you know what you're doing? I said, no, I don't have a clue what I'm doing. I said, but by the grace of God, I'm going to do it. I said, son, I said, it's always been the paycheck at work that's met my needs. Right? You know, and it's always been, if I needed more money, it seemed like God give me some overtime. Or so I'd get a raise at work or something. God always took care of me through my paycheck at work. But I wouldn't have put myself in a position where I don't have a paycheck at work, you're meeting all my needs. Now, I do have a retirement that comes and helps me. But I put myself in a position where I've experienced God's blessings in my life.
Yeah.
And praise the Lord. If I can encourage anybody to do that, do it. Do it. What a blessing it is to have a son that loves the Lord and is called to preach his word. Yeah, that's a blessing, son. I appreciate that. God bless you. All right. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I'm going to read the first. I'm going to go down through Romans 10 through Romans 11 verse 5, but I'm not going to read it all. All right. I'm just going to read a couple sections of the portions of the scripture. The first section I want to read is the first four verses of Romans chapter 10. The Bible says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. The Apostle Paul writes this down. He says, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they have been ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Paul had a desire, and his desire in verse 1 was that his countrymen might be saved.
Yeah.
Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Paul warned his countrymen to be saved. Because of this, Paul saw people the way Christ sees people. Paul sees people the way God sees people, as lost sinners,
right. Dying,
hell-bound sinners. That's how God sees the human race.
Right.
He sees us as a needy people, and he's sent his son Jesus to redeem us, to reconcile us back to him, to save us from what we deserve, which is death and hell.
Amen.
And so what Paul is saying, he says, He saw the world the way God sees the world, as His creation dying and going to hell.
Right.
And His desire was that they might be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved from the penalty of our sins, which is death and hell.
Right.
Verse 2. But better than record that, well, let me back up a little bit. He saw people without Christ, and he sought to win those people. All right? Because he had that vision, he wanted to win people. He was wise according to the scriptures. Right? Proverbs 11:30 says, "He that winneth souls is wise."
Amen.
So Paul was wise because he saw the creation like God sees the creation, and he sought to win those people. Paul was a soul. Paul's a great Christian. And the Bible says, "He who wins souls is wise." Proverbs 11, verse 30, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." Do you realize what the Bible would read if Paul was American? The Bible would simply say, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for America is that they might be saved."
Yeah.
If Paul was American, that's what the Bible would say. But he wasn't American, he was a Jew. He was an Israelite. So his prayer was that his fellowmen, his countrymen, might be saved. Now, verse 2 goes on to describe the world in his day. He says, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." I know a lot of people have a zeal for God, but it's not according to his book.
Right.
You know, I can mention, you know, some cults.
Mm-hmm.
They go out door knocking. They have a zeal of what they're doing, but it's not according to knowledge.
That's right.
The cults, I can name them. I'm not going to, because I don't offend anybody. If somebody said, maybe I should.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead, preach. You got the Jehovah's Witnesses. You got the Mormons. They got people that are changing the Word of God.
Right.
They're going out with a zeal, thinking they're right. But it's not. It's not. It's not according to knowledge.
Right.
Look at verse 3. "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, and not submit themselves unto the righteousness of God."
Right.
They're going about to establish their own righteousness. Works religion.
Yep.
That's right.
Works religion. Here. I may try to clean one in my pocket. Alright? My righteousness. They've been ignorant of God's right. Know what God's righteousness is? That's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's His righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians tells us that. Philippians 3:9. Look there real quickly. Let me go over that real quickly. I get all. He said, "Go preach all night long." He said, "It's your pastor's fault that I might be wrong tonight. Blame him."
You can preach all that. We're just
going to
leave.
Look at Philippians 3:9. 3:9 says, "And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Christ is my righteousness.
Amen.
Christ is my righteousness. Here, let me show you this. This is an illustration that Dr. Jim Vinnie uses all the time, and I stole it from him. This is me, Warren Garraway, the sinner. That microphone. Guilty before God as a sinner. Hell-bound, wicked sinner. Look at me, any position God's looking at, He sees me as a sinner. When I accepted Jesus Christ my Savior, I'm covered by His righteousness.
Amen.
God no longer sees me as a sinner because I'm covered in Christ's righteousness.
Right.
I'm not going about my own righteousness. I get righteousness of Christ.
Amen.
Hey, the worst thing that happened to me is dying and go to heaven. Excuse me. The worst thing that happened to a believer is dying and go to heaven. I don't know about you, but I get excited about that.
Amen.
I'm going to heaven when I die. There's nothing I can change.
Amen.
There's nothing I can change. I'm going to heaven. The worst thing that happened to me, this old man, is dying. I could die right now and go to heaven. And you people be crying and saying, "Oh, look at you dying." Don't cry for me. Be rejoicing for me because I'm going to be with Jesus.
Amen.
Preach on that this morning. Who am I going to see? I'm going to raise my hand and say, "I know what I'm going to see in heaven." No, it's not what I'm going to see in heaven, what's going to be in heaven, but who I'm going to see in heaven.
Amen. Yep.
I'm going to get to see David, one of my heroes.
Amen.
Can you imagine sitting down and talking with David for a couple thousand years?
Yeah.
And Abishai, oh man, those mighty men of God, mighty men of David. I'm going to get to see those guys. And they're going to look at me and say, "Brother Garraway, how come you didn't witness? You could be around the saints of God, the people that were burnt at the stakes."
Right.
Right? For this book?
Yep.
We're going to be in heaven with the saints of old, people who were put to death because of the faith in this book.
Yep.
And you're afraid to pass out a gospel tract.
Mm.
Me too. So in heaven is going to be great rejoicing. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to be kind of embarrassed to talk to some people. I'll be honest with you. I talked to some of them street preaching over in England before I come to America, and I was burned at the stake. And half those people were rejoicing when the fire was burning.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine that? Flesh burning off my body, melting, and they're singing songs. What's wrong with the people? What's right with those people?
Amen.
I mean, we're going to be in heaven with those things. I only jumped up this morning preacher and said that, but I was being nice. As sorry as it is for me to be nice. I'm a nice guy. Praise the Lord, I taught Caleb how to sing. Good singer, isn't he? You know that, I tell you. I taught him how to sing. He got his talent from his mother. Anybody know? Verse 3, they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, works religion. Hey man, I'm pretty good. I might be able to be good enough to get to heaven. What I'm covered in Christ, Jesus Christ, God's righteousness. Amen. Right there. That's Warren Garrett with a sinner. God doesn't see my sins because I'm covered in his righteousness. Well, let me tell you folks, if you're not under the blood tonight, get under the blood.
Amen.
If you're not under the righteousness of Christ, get under the righteousness of Christ.
Amen.
Man, I tell you what, God wants to save you. Let him save you.
Yep.
I tell people out on the streets, I said, listen, God wants to save you. What are you arguing for? God wants to take you to heaven. Why do you want to go to hell? What's wrong with you?
Amen.
You know, people say, you know, they don't want to hear those things. God wants to save you. Let him save you. Amen.
Amen.
Works religion. Works religion. For by grace you're saved through faith. It's not in yourselves. It is a gift of God. For they've been ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. Paul had the same problem in his day, works religion. Works religion. You know, when I got saved, oh, I'm really off my notes tonight, but nobody knows except me. When I got saved, Warren Garraway repented. Well, what was he believed that would get him to heaven? I thought my good works would get me to heaven. I thought I had more good in my life than bad. I wasn't a bad guy. I mean, you know, I never murder anybody, you know what I mean? I might say one thing and do another, and I was deceitful and all that type of stuff, but I was ready to plead my case before an almighty God. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't afraid of it. God, I won't say, hey, the reason I did that, Lord, is because of this reason. And, you know, I was an idiot. I still am an idiot, but at least I'm a saved idiot now. But when I got saved, I had to realize that, hey, I'm a hellbound sinner, and if I'm good enough, I'm not going to hell. I'll be going to heaven. I said, wait a minute, that's wrong. I can no longer trust that. I can no longer trust and believe my own good works. I have to change what it is I'm trusting in and turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, would you save me? It's only you that can save me. It's only you. What you did is what saves me. Would you come in my heart and save me, Jesus? I had to repent of what it is I believe, works religion. I know some people had to repent of water baptism.
Right.
I'm going to heaven because I was baptized as a baby. That's not what the Bible says.
Right.
And when people realize that, they say, wow, that's not going to do it. I need Jesus. Let me turn to Jesus. I know other people repent of church membership. Mm-hmm. There's people in this world today that believe they're going to heaven because they're a member of such and such church. Nonsense. That's not what the Bible says.
Right.
They have to say, oh, really? They have to see the truth. And when they see the truth, they say, wow, I was wrong. Let me do what's right. And turn to Christ. Praise the only answer.
Amen.
Our desire, folks, ought to be the same desire as the Apostle Paul. And that's to see people saved. Point number one. Our desire in this matter of reseeding America, the first thing is we ought to want to see people saved.
Right.
Most important thing. 100 years from now, what's going to happen to you? You'll be in heaven. Unless I live to be 164 years old. I don't want to be 164 years old. In fact, I wouldn't mind going home tomorrow, preacher. You know? No more pain. No more suffering. See my Savior. Come on, I'm getting excited. Amen. I'm getting excited.
Amen.
But, you know, when God's ready to take me home, I go home. Number one, our desire is not to see America saved. And not only, but I'm not. Hey, we're in a problem in America. It's not the government that's going to get us out of it.
That's right.
I don't care who the president is. It's not the government. I mean, it's not the government that's going to solve our problems in America with the moral issues and everything else. It's only God.
Right.
We're going to turn this nation back to God. How are we going to do it? I don't know. That's why I just go soul winning. pass on gospel tracts, tell people about Jesus.
Amen.
I mean, I'm trying to reach 1,000 people a year and pass on 1,000 gospel tracts.
Amen.
Got 1,000 people doing that, we might make some difference. 1,000 people is only 20 in the state. 20 in every state in the union is 1,000. You got 1,000 people in 1,000. 1,000. You don't get more than that. You'd be multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. Pass out tracts, the word of God will not return void. Number two. Our field or our desire ought to be to who? Who should our desire be to? The Bible clearly states down here in Romans 10:13, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise. Shall be saved. If a person calls on Jesus, they shall be saved. The whosoever is of the world, that's what our field is. That's who our desire is, ought to be, to see who to be saved. The whosoever is of the world. Now, excuse me. Who's the whosoever? Well, those are the nice people of the world. You know, those are the only people I like. Whosoever's aren't the queers, or the sodomites, the terrorists, those aren't whosoever's. Whosoever's, anybody.
That's right.
Whosoever's your mom and your dad, and your grandchildren, your children. That's the boy who lives in the newspaper. It's the guy down at the grocery store that bags your food, the checkout girl at the counter. Those whosoever, it's also the prostitute down the street. It's also the pimp. It's also the drug addict. Is he the one that hates God? Whosoever.
Right.
God wants the whosoever is this world saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, how are we going to get the whosoever to call on the name of the Lord? I don't know. That's God's business. My job is to go tell him.
That's right.
I can't make anybody believe. But he can. And I wish I could make people believe. Amen? Can you imagine? I just walk around with a 45 and say, you want to trust Christ? Yeah. Okay, well, pray. But we can't do that. I mean, some of them might pray, but you might say, well, he really didn't mean it. Why? You know, probably didn't. You know what I mean? It's that simple. We'll be doing that. The whosoever's of the world. The whosoever's of non-expecting people. Last year I was in Groton, New York, in a small village upstate. And we were knocking doors with a pastor. I said, preacher, where do you want to go? He said, I know, Brother Gary, you pick the spot. I said, let's go on the street right here. It was not a good street. So we knocked the street. It's about 2 hours, the last house. We didn't see anybody saved. We had a bunch of tracks trying to encourage a few folks. Didn't see anybody saved. Last house. Woman comes to the door. Her name was Pamela Simmons. 45-year-old Peyton girl. Woman. She's a girl. When in my age, everybody's a girl. Right? It's a 45-year-old woman. She said, I introduced myself. I said, hi, my name's Warren Garrett. This is Pastor Stott. We're from the Heritage Baptist Church here in town. We're all knocking doors, inviting folks to church. I had to give you a gospel tract, talk about how you go to heaven when you die. You go to church any place? And the woman said, no. I said, you go to church as a child. That's my pitch. That's how I start conversations. My pitch, my spiel, or my presentation of the gospel. Call it whatever you want. You know what I mean? It's engaging people in a conversation. So she said, no. She said, I was diagnosed with lung cancer 6 months ago. And they gave me 6 months to live. I was diagnosed with lung cancer in January. They gave me 6 months to live. Now, folks, it was August. All right? I said, you fooled the doctors for the last 2 months anyway. Right? And she just said, yeah. I said, has anyone shown you scriptures how to be saved? She says, do you know what I was just doing? And of course, I was gentlemanlike. I said, no, ma'am, I don't know what you're just doing. I just knocked on your door. She says, I was just searching the web and internet, looking for questions, looking for answers to questions that I have about life and death. And you just happened to knock on my door. I said to her, I said, listen, ma'am, I says, I can't explain what God does and how he does it. I said, can I come in and show you how to go to heaven when you die? She said, would you please?
Amen.
Letter to Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
She was thanking us and all that type of stuff. Went back to visit her 6 months, a year later. This year I went back to visit her. She didn't die yet.
Praise
we come in there and I prayed over. We prayed over that she'd be healed and all this sort of stuff. And her husband answered the door. And that whosoever who wouldn't let me proceed with my presentation of the gospel. He said, no, they misdiagnosed my wife. She didn't have lung cancer. I said, you don't realize it. I said, but your wife was healed because we prayed over her when she had it. He says, yeah, whatever. And kind of gently closed the door. So She hadn't died yet. Right. Hadn't been to church either. Can't seem to get past the husband. It was just one of those coincidences, quote, coincidences, that we just happened to knock on her door when she was looking. She was seeking God. I called her, ma'am. I said, I can't explain it, but anybody that seeks after God, God always reveals himself to that person.
Yeah.
You know? And so he just knocked those. Whosoever. She was a whosoever. Another fellow, my name is Doc Rock. This is good. He's an old motorcycle bum. And I was just in Groton again. I must have wrote this message when I was in Groton. And he says, Brother Garrow, this fella Frank, his name was Frank, but he told me Doc Rock. He says, this fella Frank, I've had a lot of preachers by and evangelists by to win him to Christ, talk to him to Christ and try and win him to Christ. And I said, well, let's give him a shot. You know, we got to lose. He says, nice enough guy, and let us talk to him. So I sat down there with Frank. I let him talk, which seems like an eternity. But when he was all talked out, he allowed me to talk. And so I patiently led him down a Romans Road, bowed his head and got saved. His name was Doc Rock. He says, and I went back to visit him. He said, hey, I wrote this song. I want to give out at Christmas time. It's about loving Jesus. He gave me a copy of it. That's not what you'll probably play in church. But the testimony of it said, he was a whosoever.
Amen.
You know, whosoever's all around the place. Look down the street, there's whosoever's.
Right.
And you don't know how God deals with those persons. You don't know how God prepares a person's heart for the reception of the gospel. I mean, you don't. You know what I mean? What do you think, Brother Gary? I don't know. Just pray and go. Right? Pray and go. Our desire ought to be to win the whosoever's of the world, the whosoever's of our field, or the ones we don't want to see field. Our desire, our field. Now, our commission, or what gives us the right to do what we do? Right?
Right.
What gives us the right to do what we do? Look at verse 14. Romans 10:13-15. Let me read those real quickly. But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise of God. Amen? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? That's a good question. How is somebody going to call on Jesus, ask Jesus to save, and not have to die and go to hell if they don't believe on him? So before a person will pray and ask Jesus to call on you, Lord, would you save me from going to hell? Before they can call on Jesus and ask him to save them from going to hell, they must believe who he is that he says he is.
Yeah.
Okay? That's a good question. How should they call on him in whom they have not believed? Look at the next question. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? That's another good question. They believe on Jesus if you've never heard about him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I believe on Jesus, but you've never heard about him. That's ridiculous. You have to hear first so you can choose to believe on him, so you can choose to call on him, not to die and go to hell. Look at the next question. And who shall they hear and not heard? And how should they hear without a preacher? Oh, I got the idea. We go and preach the Word of God so people can hear the Word of God, so they can choose to believe the Word of God, so they can call on Jesus to be saved.
Amen.
Right? I mean, you ladies can be preachers. Maybe not behind a pulpit. You can't pastor it. Because the Scriptures clearly deal with responsibilities, you know. Hey, if you're a husband, read the Bible when it deals with husbands. If you're a man, read what a man's supposed to do. Don't worry about the woman's supposed to do. Read about what your responsibility is. You women, the same thing. I got them nagging the wives off your back, didn't I, fellas? Go study the Bible, what it says about women, you know, and not worrying about the man's role. Children, what about your role is and not your parents? And so forth and so on. Figure out who you are in life. And then search the Scriptures and see how it deals with you. Draw a circle, that's me. I'm a man. I read the things about man. Right? I don't know, I went there, I just went there. Must be something right there. How should I hear it without a preacher? Right? You ladies can preach in the streets all you want to. You can go up to people and say, hey, listen, can I show you how to be saved? You know for sure, do you know for sure that when you die, you're going to heaven? Can I show what the Bible says? You ladies can do it all day long.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, amen. Get off my back, Mom. No. I'll stop. Why? So we go, somebody can hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. You can tell people about Jesus, plan the salvation, tell them what the Bible says all day long, so people can hear about Jesus. Why? So they can choose to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Why? So they can call on him. Why? So I don't have to die and go to hell. Amen?
That's
right. That's what the Bible says. God's not willing a nation perish, but all should come to repent. 2 Peter 3:9. Look at verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? Who sends us to preach the gospel?
Jesus.
Amen. Who sends us to preach the gospel? He does. The Great Commission. Look at Matthew chapter 28. Go back there real quickly. This is why we have we can do what we want. This is why we have the authority to preach the word of God in America, or any place for that matter. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Who has all power in heaven and earth? Talk to me.
Jesus.
Who has all power in heaven and earth?
Jesus.
Who has all power in heaven and earth?
Jesus.
Everybody in Houston, Jesus. Who has all power in heaven and earth?
Jesus.
All right, now, since he has all that power, look at the next verse. Go ye therefore. Why do I go therefore? Because he's got all power in heaven and earth.
Amen.
Go ye therefore. Why? Because God has all the power. Because Jesus has got all the power in heaven and earth. And teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We're commanded by an almighty God to go tell the lost and dying world about his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. After a person gets saved, we're commanded to baptize him. After they get baptized, we're commanded to disciple him, turn him into soul winning. Great Commission, threefold.
Yeah.
The first part of that Great Commission was soul winning.
That's right.
You got nobody to baptize unless you go soul winning. You got nobody to join the church unless you get him to go soul winning. Now, there's some churches that baptize without going soul winning. You know what I'm talking about? Works religion type churches?
Right.
And there's some churches that try and disciple people without getting them saved. That's the church I grew up in. Learn Bible verses and I wasn't saved. They didn't take time to show me how I can miss the flames of hell. Oh, by the way, to perish in hell, you know how long that is for? Forever. Ever.
That's right.
And ever. 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 And unending. It was 100 years, wasn't too bad. Only 50 years left to go, I'll be out of this place. Man, I got 1 year left to be up in hell. For 99 years, I'll be out. I'll be on the flames, lake of fire for 99 years. I got 1 year to go, and I'll be out of here. Praise the Lord, I'll be out of here. No. Unending.
Right.
A mind-boggling concept to physically minded people. We live in a physical world, beginning and end. There's no end in hell.
Right.
There's no end in the lake of fire. It's forever and ever and ever and ever. I don't know about you, but I don't want to see anybody go there.
Yes.
Get right down to it. Especially a loved one. I talked to a guy one day. He was a hyper-Calvinist. A young Christian. He said, I'm in a doctor's office. I was probably in my early 30s. Mid-30s. I wasn't tactful back then. I'm still not tactful, but I was really bad back then. He said, no worries. He says, my mom and dad just aren't elected to go to heaven. I said, you mean to tell me you're willing them to go to die and go to hell and not worry about them? He said, nothing I can do about it. I said, man, if my mom and dad weren't saved, I'd beg them, I'd get down on my knees, I'd do whatever I could to get them saved. Why? Because hell is forever. The flames of hell, they're not hot tonight, they're not getting any cooler.
That's right.
Forever and ever and ever. That's a mind-boggling concept to us. Here's something else that's mind-boggling to me. If I keep taking half of something, I never get to the beginning. You keep taking half, you never get to the beginning. Now, for all practical purposes, you're there, but you're not there. Because if you keep taking half of something, you never get to the beginning. Mind-boggling. How small can you go? Just keep taking half, half and half. Hey, we live in a physical world. Right? We only know the physical world. We don't know the spiritual world. God resides in the spiritual world. We don't know too much about the spiritual world. Except what's revealed to us by this book.
Amen.
It's the only clue we have about the spiritual world. And I believe every page of this book. And by the way, this is a preserved, inspired copy right here, the old King James Bible.
Amen.
It was the word of God 400 years ago, but I say the same thing today.
That's right.
If God calls a man to preach, you would think he'd give him his word, wouldn't you?
Amen.
God calls you to preach, you better have His word. What about, otherwise, what kind of God is He?
Right.
Won't you live by my word? I'm going to give me a copy of it. I got it right here. Keep your fingers out of the book. Don't mess with it. You know? I just covered my notes up. Our commission was sent by God's power. And you can go on and on and on. The Great Commission was sent by God's power. He's the one that gives us the commission to go. It's His creation. Therefore, He tells us to go, we can go. Our desire ought to be to see people saved. Our desire ought to be to the field of people that are whosoever's of this world. The terrorists. We had a tough time years ago if somebody were going to bless one of my children. I want to beat the snot out of him. Put a bull in his head. Some of them less than my wife. My children, my grandchildren, I'd kill them. But I had to deal with that. I have an anger issue. What good would it do if I seek vengeance? Vengeance isn't mine, vengeance is His. The real problem would happen if someone molested one of my children. Would be not vengeance to get the guy that did it, but to deal with the problem on hand. You know what I'm saying? Somebody molested one of my granddaughters, my grandson. The problem isn't me getting his vengeance, putting out one guilty. The problem is to restore the one that's been defiled. You folks with me? Mm-hmm. I had to deal with that. And probably a lot of you guys had to deal with it too. Maybe a lot of you guys are still dealing with it. You know what I'm talking about? Anyway, our commission. And lastly, look, the fourth thing is our hope. Our hope is found here in verse 15, chapter 15, of Romans chapter 15. And what I just say, it's found in chapter Romans 15. I'm all over the place, aren't I? You folks following me all right?
Yeah.
Forgive this old man. You know, I'm having fun. Romans chapter 15. You know, I'm glad I'm going to heaven. Hey, if you're happy you're going to heaven tonight, say amen.
Amen.
Don't be ingrate. Don't be an ingrate. God loves you. He saved you. He's taken to heaven. What you ought to say is, thank you, Jesus. What can I do for you?
Amen.
If somebody gave you $1 million, man, if somebody gave me $1 million, I'd shine their shoes, I'd polish their car, I'd clean the house, I'd do whatever they want. $1 million, come on. If God gave me $10 million, yeah, what do you want me to do? I'll do anything you want, $10 million. Oh, how much more valuable is eternal life over $10 million? How much more valuable is it to never have to be in the flames of hell? The lake of fire. Your pastor will explain our doctrine issues to you, but eternal death in the flames of hell. It'll be in heaven. How much would you pay for that? Don't be angry.
Amen.
God, what am I going to do? I'm just going to tell something about Jesus. Well, what do you want us to do, Lord? Why don't you go forward with the gospel, tell people about Jesus? Why? Because I don't want to see anybody perish and die and go to hell. Because I've come, I love Him. Why God loves me? I don't have a clue why God loves me. Why would God save this old reprobate right here? Fighting, drunken, dope smoking, motorcycle, bum. Why would God save somebody like me? He loves me? I don't understand.
Amen.
I tell you something else I understand. I don't understand why my wife loves me. What do you want him? I have no idea. Talk to me after the service, I'll tell you what. How do you explain that? How do you explain that? God loves me. He loves you. He's asked you to. Don't be an ingrate. He saved you. What can I do?
Man, Jesus.
I'll do it. I'll do it. But I'm embarrassed. Hey, years ago, people ask me sometimes for soul winners illustrations, soul winning stories. Now, Gary, give us a soul winner story. I said, I'll give you one. Early in my Christianity, I was a bus driver, a bus captain in Phoenix, New York. I visit in the morning. Look at my clock. It's almost, no, I'm not worried about time. It's almost noon. Knocked on this guy's door. I had to visit his job. And the Lord was pricking my heart to go talk to the individual in the car in the backyard. But I said, Lord, I gotta go cut the grass. I ain't got time to do this. So I didn't go back and witness to the fellow. I did give him a gospel track. That's how I give him a track. Yeah, you know, read this, you know, I don't know. Can I give you something to read? Yeah, I gotta give you. God was tricking my heart to talk to the fellow. I didn't talk to him. He committed suicide that night.
Wow.
His blood's on my hands. And you know how he killed himself? He drove his vehicle off the edge of the Three Rivers Bridge. There was a spot between the bridge rail and the guide rail about 8 feet. And he didn't hit the guy. He didn't hit the bridge rail. He didn't hit the guide rail. He drove his car right off that on a Saturday night. Sunday morning, pulling the vehicle out of the water, who do you think is driving his bus route? His bus down the street, the very street, and sees it. I said, I had no accident. Them just killed themselves. Then I found out who it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was the grandfather on the kids I picked up on Sunday morning. I was too busy. Well, I got to cut the grass. Can you imagine I give an account for that? Well, that's a flimsy excuse. I got to cut the grass to the barbecue. I'm busy. Lord, I'm on. I'm busy. Anybody else ever have anything like that? The hardest thing for me to do as a layman is give up my Saturdays. This boy helped me give up my Saturdays. We were going soloing all day. Visit the bus route, go knock doors all day. Never worried about getting home. Maybe once in a while, but not much. The hardest thing to do is give up my Saturdays. You know God bless me for giving up my Saturdays? He made Monday the day I look forward to. Monday night, the day of barbecue in the backyard. Hey, man, it's Monday night. I can barbecue tonight. And I cut the grass barbecue. Monday became a day I look forward to. Monday's always a day I grudge. Ah, oh, Monday. Sticking Monday. I hate Mondays. And I look forward to Mondays. So it's a win-win situation to serve the Lord. Hey, our only hope is found in verse 5, chapter 15. Let me read the first 5 verses. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmity of the weak and not to please ourselves. Verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Verse 3, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Excuse me. Chapter 11. Did I say chapter 15, didn't I?
Yeah.
I went from chapter 10 to chapter 15. Remember, you corrected me. Excuse me. I can't even read my notes. Chapter 11. I say then, hath God cast away his people? Verse 1. God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Elijah's having a pity party here. Elijah's having a pity party. He says, God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Wot ye not that the scripture saith of Elijah? How ye make intercession to God against Israel? Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. Elijah's crying the blues after a great victory at Mount Carmel because Jezebel put a price on his head.
Mm.
And he's running hiding. Alright? He's having a pity party. You have pity parties too. So don't be mad at Elijah. You have pity parties all the time, and so do I. Look at verse 4. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. He says, there's 7,000 others beside you, Elijah. There's 7,000 others that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. You ain't the only one. Even so, verse 5, at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Elijah thought he was the only one. But God says, hey, there's a remnant. God has always preserved a remnant.
Amen.
Well, let me ask you. 2009, who are the remnant? Who's the remnant God has preserved to this day that haven't bowed their knee to any of them? We'd be the remnant. We're the remnant, aren't we?
Right. Yeah.
We're the remnant. We're the ones that haven't bowed our knee to anybody else. We bowed on to Jesus Christ. The remnant always dealing with the Jews, I understand, but I'm adopted in the family, you know. The remnant today is us. We are the remnant. Well, let me ask you, what is a remnant supposed to do? How do they act? If we've been kept alive in the year 2009, the only hope for America is if the remnant, we, get busy doing what God wants us to do. Right? Amen?
Right.
You with me?
Yep.
Our hope, our desire, our field, our commission, and the only hope to reach America is us. We have a remnant. Churches like this all over the country. Independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist churches that believe this book, the knock doors, that go soul winning, and want to see people saved, that's the hope for America.
That's right.
Amen.
It's the hope for the world. It's the only hope. God doesn't use anybody else but His remnant. We be the remnant. We're the remnant. Folks, let me tell you. Get involved in this matter of winning the lost. Get behind your pastor 100% and charge this. Charge Elma.
Yeah, okay.
Charge Elma. Do whatever it takes.
Right.
God's got a leader. He's right there, following the leader.
Amen.
He says, come on, let's go soul winning. Everybody here to be a soul winner.
Yeah.
I got to cut the grass. Don't make cutting the grass an excuse. Amen. Well, I don't know what to say. Yeah, join the club. Don't worry about what to say. God will give you the words. Just go.
Yes. Amen.
Just go.
Yeah.
If every fundamental Bible-believing Baptist church would do that, I think we might get America back on a course.
Yeah.
The problem is, we're too busy.
That's right.
We're too busy working. We're too busy worrying about ourselves.
Right.
Oh, we love God a little bit, but we don't worship Him. We don't serve Him like we ought to. God's heart's breaking when He sees His creation turn His back on Him. When you read the Old Testament and you see that what the Jews did, they turned their back on God. Well, America today, we turn our back on God.
Yeah.
We're experiencing the blessings that God has blessed this country with, but the people that experience the blessings have forgotten all about God.
Right.
They forgot all about God. They don't know about God. The reason we have freedom of speech is because of His book.
Right.
Because of God. And people don't want to... you can't carry your Bibles in the school anymore. I wish I was going to school again. I'd probably be in the principal's office a lot more for the right reason instead of the wrong reason. Amen. Would you stand on your feet? Would you bow your heads? Father, we're unworthy to have your blessings upon us. We're unworthy. We're just sinners saved by grace. And Father, would you help us in this matter of reaching the lost? Lord, would you help me to win some souls this year? Would you help me to pass out some more gospel tracts? Would you help me, Lord, to do your will? In Jesus' name.